Started to talk about the beginning of the parsha by Yisro Tzitzu HaBanim Bekirba. As we know, Rivka Imenu is pregnant, she has twins, and she doesn't know that at the time, and Rashi says that every time she passed by a Beis HaKnesses, one of the children wanted to go out. Every time she passed by a Beis Ovid Avodah Zarah, a different one of the children wanted to go out, and she was very confused, she didn't know what to do about it, and therefore, Vatelech Lidrosh Es Hashem, Rashi says, she goes to the local Talmud Chacham, she goes to Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, and she goes to find the Talmud Chacham to ask him the Shaila, because she's very confused. And this has been the Jewish response for many, many generations. When something difficult, when something complicated, when there's something confusing going on in the community, we go to the great leader, we go to the Talmud Chacham to try to give us a perspective and to try to help guide us through the issue. One problem that often presents itself is the notion of shopping for a psak. We started to discuss this yesterday, now we're going to get into it in more detail, that sometimes people shop for a rabbi until they get the psak that they're looking for. And the question is that something that is okay? Is that acceptable? Or perhaps that is something that should not be done. So this is not a new phenomenon. This dates back to the days of the Gemara. And the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah and Daf Zayin, Tana Rabbanan HaNisha LaChacham V'Timei, if somebody has a Shaila in Hilchos Nida, and the Chacham is asked the Shaila whether or not this, whatever it might be, is Tahar or Tameh, and the Chacham says, I think it's Tameh. Lo yisha l'chacham v'yitahar. You don't have a right to go to the guy down the block, to the next rabbi, and say, oh, you know, this was already a problem with that rabbi, let me go find someone else. Says the Gemara, you don't have a right to do that. And the same goes if you went to a chacham v'asar. You have a pot of chicken soup, you're not sure if it's kosher, you're not sure if it's treif, you don't know if some milk spilled into it, and you don't know what the halacha is, and the chacham told you that he thinks that it's treif. He thinks that it's problematic. Lo yisha l'chacham v'yater. You don't have a right to now take the same pot of soup to another rabbi and ask him the shaila once again. Once the rabbi gave a psak, so the story is over. And the same idea emerges from a Gemara in Maseches Nida, where the Gemara shares the story about Yalta. Yalta was the wife of Rav Nachman, and it says that she once had a shaila in Hilchos Nida, and she went to the local rabbi. For some reason, she doesn't go to her husband, Rav Nachman, says the Gemara, she goes to Rabbi Barbar Chana, she goes to the local Talmud Chacham and she asks him the question, and he says that it's problematic, and it seems to me he says that you are a Nida as a result of the question you asked. And then she goes down the block to the next rabbi and she says, you know, let me present the Shaila again. And she asks him the same question that she just asked 5 minutes ago to somebody else, and he says that she is okay, he says that she's Tahora. So the Gemara asks, what right did Yalta have to start shopping around town, to go to this one and then to go to the other one? Don't you know, the Hatanya Chacham Shetimei, Ein chavera rashai l'tahar. Don't you know that if one rabbi already said that it's tahar or tameh, if one rabbi said that this is asr, that this is treif, you don't have a right to go later and ask somebody else for their opinion. So that is where the Gemara has this discussion, both in Avodah Zarah as well as in Maseches Nida. So it's clear from the Gemara that one is not supposed to go shopping around once they've already asked the question to someone. And the shaila is, why is that the case? There's a major discussion amongst the Rishonim. Why is it? Why do we have an objection? Somebody goes to a rabbi, he asks a shaila, he gets a psak, he doesn't like it, let him go to someone else. If the rabbi, the second one, wants to take it on his shoulders and say that he disagrees with the first, that's his problem. Why is it an issue for the questioner on their own to go ask the question to somebody else? What's the issue? So the Rishonim have a major debate. The Ran writes in the name of the Ravid and the Ramban and the Rashba, three of the great Gedolei HaRishonim. The Ran presents their opinion and he says, the reason why you're not allowed to ask a second person, this is very surprising, is because once you've asked the first one and a psak has been given, a psak has been rendered, we assume that that pot of chicken soup now becomes treif. Once the rabbi gave a psak on it and he said he thinks that whatever happened is problematic, it means the pot is now like a piece of non-kosher meat, just based on the psak alone. And therefore, it's not going to help. Even if you go to a second rabbi and he gives a psak and he says, I disagree with the first one and I think he was wrong and now I think this pot of soup is kosher, it's not going to help because the pot of soup already became treif the moment the psak was given. Once the rabbi said it was usher and he's a competent person and he generally gives the right answers, we assume it is now problematic, and even if someone comes later on, it's going to be an issue regardless. Or take, for example, the Gemara gives the case of a woman who had a shaila in Hilchos Nida, and the rabbi said that she's Temeya. So the understanding is, once the rabbi says she's Temeya, she's actually considered a Nida, even if you're going to go to someone else, and that other person is going to say that he thinks that she's Tahora. That is what the Ran quotes in the name of the Rashba, in the name of the Ramban, and in the name of the Ravid. And the Ran says, I find this very troubling. He rejects it. He says, how can that be? How can it be? If somebody gives a psak and says that something is usur or something is treif, all of a sudden it actually becomes treif, even though it might not be? How can that be? The rabbi has the right to tell me not to eat it. The rabbi has the right to tell me, I think that she's a nida, but the rabbi is actually going to make her tamea, even though she might not be. The rabbi is going to make this pot of chicken soup treif, even though it might not be, says the Ran. I cannot accept that position. And the Ran says there must be a different reason why you're not allowed to go shopping for a second rabbi to look for another psak. Says the Ran, the reason why is because mishim kvodo shel hachacham harishon, because you have to show honor to the first rabbi that you asked. If you trusted him enough in the first place to ask the question, then that means that you're going to trust and respect the answer that he gives. And therefore he says it's inappropriate for you to go to a second one to ask the question again, because it shows that you don't really respect the first one. It shows that you don't really trust him. And therefore he says that's the reason why you're not allowed to go and ask the question to a second rabbi after you've already presented it to the first. What is the difference whether you assume the reason is because of kavod to the first rabbi, or the reason is because once the first one gives a psak, now it becomes set in stone, now it becomes real, almost reality, once the psak has been given? The answer would be, there are major distinctions between these two. For example, what if the first rabbi said that he thinks it's mutter? You go to the first one and he says, I think this pot of chicken soup is not problematic at all. I think this woman is tahora. And then later on you bump into somebody else and you ask the second rabbi the question and he says, no, that was absolutely wrong. I think she's Temeya and I think the pot of chicken soup is problematic. Would that be okay or not? Would the second rabbi have a right to give a psak that is more machmir than the first? Well, it depends what reason you're saying you're not allowed to ask the second. If the reason you're not allowed to ask is because once a psak has been given and the rabbi said that it's treif or it's usur, now it actually becomes that reality of the psak, then if you're going to go to a rabbi who's going to say mutter, and then the second one says usur, that's not a problem. Of course he can ask the second one. However, if you realize that the reason why this is an issue is because we don't want you to compromise the respect of the first Talmud Chacham that you asked the Shaila to, if you trusted him in the first place, then you should trust him once he gives the answer, and you shouldn't just react based on the answer that he gave, then it wouldn't make a difference if he said mutter, if he said usur, if he said heter, if he said anything. You're not allowed to go ask somebody else because once you've asked the question, you have showed your respect to this rabbi, and if you're going to go later on and ask someone else, you are disrespecting him, and therefore that is something that is inappropriate. The Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch Yerodeya as follows, Afilu imhiter harishon. Even if the first one already gave a heter, he said the pot of soup is kosher, and you have nothing to worry about, Ukvar chala horaso, and we went along and we started eating the soup already, based on the psak. And later on that night, you come to Mincha Maariv, you meet another rabbi, Ein hasheni lesar mikach shikol hadas. You don't have a right to come along later and say, I think it's treif, I think it's usur, even though you want to be more machmir, it doesn't matter. Once the rabbi gave the psak, you have to show respect to the rabbi, and you're not allowed to go to somebody else to ask it once again. Now, if he made an obvious mistake, if you think that the rabbi really just overlooked something or didn't really understand the question properly, that's a whole different story. Tosis discusses that possibility. That's what we spoke about yesterday. But being that generally the person who you ask your questions to is somebody who does understand the way you speak and who does understand and is competent, that's why you asked him in the first place. So then we would generally assume, says the Rama, you don't have a right to ask somebody else. Even if the second person is being asked in a case where the first psak was leheter. Second afkamina would be, what if I have a local rabbi and I ask him all of my general questions that come up in my life, but now I have a major question that comes up and it's way over my head. So I give what I think is my opinion, but maybe people feel that it's way over my head. So they go to one of the Gedolei Yisrael, they go to one of the leaders of the entire Jewish community and they say, you know, we're going to present the question again to somebody who's much greater than our rabbi and our shul. So would that be a part of this discussion or not? So the Acharonim discuss this and they say, well, it depends what the reason for this issue is. If you say the reason why you're not allowed to ask somebody else is mishum kavod to the first person that you asked, well, that's not an issue here. If you're going to go ask Rav Moshe Feinstein the question, obviously everybody will submit themselves humbly to Rav Moshe and say whatever he says is going to go. But if the reason why this is an issue is because once the psak was given, so we assume it actually becomes a halachic reality and it becomes a physical reality, then it doesn't matter if you're asking Rav Moshe Feinstein, it doesn't matter who you're going to ask later on. Once the psak was given, The story ends, and you have no right to reopen the case, and the story is now over. The third nafkamina that they discuss is, if you have hora b'maisa acher, what if, for example, I asked the shayla when it came up. 5 years down the line, a similar kind of question comes up. So am I bound by the psak that was given last time, or do I have a right to go now and ask somebody else now that the new question came up? The Rama writes very clearly, b'maisa acher pshita sheyachala horas mashaniralo. When a new scenario presents itself, I don't have to go back to the same rabbi just because it's similar to the last question I asked. Now it's a new story, it's a new circumstance, it's a new scenario, and therefore, says the Rama, I have a right to go and ask whoever I want on this occasion. I don't have to follow whatever it is that was done last time. And here, some Achronim say, this is also based on the same issue. If you say the reason why you're not allowed to ask somebody else is Mishum Kavodo Shel HaRishon, so just because it's 5 years down the line, it's a little bit different of a scenario, I should still show respect to the first person that I originally trusted, and I should ask all of my questions throughout life. Asay l'charav, you're supposed to have somebody who you trust, somebody who you can rely upon, and that person should be asked all the questions throughout your life. However, if you're going to say the reason why this is a problem is because shavya anav shechaticha diyisura, once the rabbi gave a psak, we assume it actually becomes treif, it actually becomes usur, you become tameh, you become tar, so then that only is with regard to this question that I'm dealing with right now. But if another question presents itself 5 years down the line, that shouldn't at all have any bearing on whatever happened the last time around. So my father has a discussion that became a famous discussion on behalf of the OU about the kashrus of tuna in our generation. And this is a major halachic shaila. What is the status of the tuna cans that we have today, and the OU gives a hashgacha, but there were many who were opposed to giving a hashgacha. So my father wrote a psak that he felt was the appropriate psak about why he believes that it's permissible to give a hashgacha on tuna. So somebody sent him back a letter and wrote, what right did you have to make a psak? There was a gadol in America, Rav Henkin, who came before you, who said that the tuna is unacceptable. So how can you come along and argue with what he said if he's already laid down the foundation of what the rule is? You don't have a right to come later on and disagree with that or to challenge it because, like the Gemara says, Chacham Sha'asar, if you have a great Talmud Chacham who already said it's Asar, you don't have a right to revisit the story later on and come up with a alternative Psak. So my father writes very simply, the reason why that's not a claim is because all the cans of tuna that Rav Henkin gave a Psak on were out of stock 50 years ago. Now we're dealing with a new reality, we're dealing with a new Shaila, and it means that we have to do whatever it is to look into it carefully and to be responsible with the situation that is now at hand. And we have to revisit some issues sometimes, even though they were visited 50 years ago. Very often we have a tremendously fast-paced changing world, and we have to revisit many of the issues that came up in the past, and we cannot just simply rely and assume that everything is going to remain the same many, many generations and many years later. There's an amazing tshuva in the Netziv, where he writes, really, he goes berserk about some young Talmud Chacham. He doesn't say who it is, but there was apparently some newspaper in Europe that was called Hamelitz. I don't know anything about the history of this newspaper, but he said that it was like a Torah journal that used to come out periodically, and various people from different communities used to submit articles. So he says there's a young Talmud Chacham who said that he was going to present his opinion on a certain very pressing halachic issue that came up in the community, and it was against all of those who came before him. And all the Gedolei Yisrael said one way, and this young guy decided they were all wrong, and he felt that his position was something that was legitimate, and therefore he submitted it to this publication that everybody should see what he said. And the Netziv goes after him, and he goes berserk. And the Netziv said, one of your big mistakes is you thought that the Gemara means to be taken literally. The Gemara says, Hanisha lechacham. If somebody asks a question of a Talmud Chacham and the Talmud Chacham gives a response to that person's question, you don't have a right to go later on and ask the question to someone else. You think that means that it's only when a question is presented and an answer is given in response to that question, that's when we're not allowed to revisit the issue. But if somebody gives a psak in the abstract, let's say a rabbi just gives a psak, not responding to a question, he just shares his feeling about a community issue. Like this case, says the Netziv, all the Gedolei Yisrael came down very unequivocally clear about their position on an issue. Not because anyone asked them, because they were thinking about what the Jewish people are going to face in the next 5-10 years, and this is the position that they put forth. So he says, you think just because nobody asked them, therefore their psak is irrelevant, therefore whatever they said doesn't count? You think you have a right to open up the case just because nobody was really asking the question, they weren't giving the response to anyone. That's not the case, says the Netziv. That's a gross misunderstanding of what the Gemara here means. The Gemara here is saying that if a psak is given and it's given by a legitimate person who really understands the situation, that is something that one has to be careful about reopening. That's not something that we have a right to revisit, because once it's given, it's given. Either because, like some Rishonim say, once the psak is given, it means the pot of soup actually becomes treif, the woman actually becomes tameya, even though it's questionable, or because the second reason the Rishonim give is Mishum Kvodan Shela Rishonim. We have an obligation to show respect to the first person who was asked, to the first person who was trusted. And if you're going to revisit the case and reopen all the scenarios once again, that means that you're not showing the ultimate respect to the person who was originally asked. And that's an issue, says the Ran, that we have to be very concerned about when we have Hanisha L'Chacham Etime, when you have somebody who primarily gave a psak less, or we don't have a right to once again go to somebody else to look for a psak that might be more lahakel or more letahir.